You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Break!
What's going on, y'all? It's your man Chris, one half of the brothers Layman. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Black Is Break, brought to you by the Black Is Network. Just a little short one for y'all. I've been trying to dig through the archives for stuff, and this is one we did a few months ago. We got into the subject of fathers taking daughters on dates, and then bled into Rachel Dolezal. We had really discussed it in it was a little quick joint. It was a couple months after it happened, and the whole thing of passing. So I hope you all enjoy it. Let us know what you think. You know, email us, kc@blackisonline.com, Twitter at Black Is Online, Facebook Black Is Magazine, on the hotline 323-455-4219. That's enough. Thanks for listening.
I need an apple bum. You gotta put me on.
I thought it was interesting you're talking about modeling dating. There's this phenomenon I've seen where there's fathers who take their daughters out on dates and will be like,
oh, yeah.
I don't, you know, I work with kids. I don't have kids. There's certain things when I see there's two issues. There's that and the vaxxer thing where I don't have a position. So I'm just curious as to what your perspectives are on specifically that, like, fathers, like, taking their daughters out on dates. I don't have
one. That first.
Creepy.
To be honest,
you know, I, if my dad would have called it a date, I think it would have been weird. But it would have been really weird. But the experiences that my dad and uncle created set the tone on what I expected men to do when we spent time together. Right. But if it would have been a very formal, like, Tori, I'm going to take you on a date tonight.
No, I wouldn't do that just because it would be
so
like.
Daddy's so daddy's daughter's you talking about.
And you're right. I want to be very specific because this is my question. So what will happen is you'll see like a dad, he gets dressed up and the daughter gets dressed up and they like go out to dinner or something, or they like they have tea like, you know, in the backyard or something. But it is set up like it's kind of like a date, even if they don't call it that.
I have a friend who's a dad and I fully support that. Right now she's only like 4 or 5 or something like that. So they go to Chuck E. Cheese. But
right.
This is the thing, and I'm going to tell you why this is so fucking important, especially for this little girl. Her dad is not in the picture. This is actually her stepdad, but she's too young to understand the difference, right? And they just recently had, like, so the mom and the stepdad recently had a new baby. Right? It is so extraordinarily important for her to always know that that she is number one. And like she's always going to be his first baby. Right. And so he always carves out time. So it's less about it being a date, but more about carving out time that is just hers. It's not mommy time. It's not your new baby sister's time. Yeah. It is just your time. And you are my full focus. And I think it's so important because that gives her the self-esteem and the confidence in her relationship with her dad, that she knows that this new baby isn't taking anything from her. Mm-hmm. She's an addition to the family. Mm-hmm. And also the mom does it too. They have girl dates or the, yeah. like, you know, they'll go get their toes done.
No. It's necessary. It's,
you know, yeah. I just think that's a really
bad luck. What happens when you grow up in a family of 15 kids? And, you know, I mean, listen, yeah, wait, first off, I need to acknowledge that what I'm hearing sounds absolutely beautiful. And it sounds like something I would want to do with my daughter. But when I just, the part of me that's just analyzing it thinks about it, I'm just like, you know, in a family where there's a family dynamic and there's a lot of kids and the both parents work or both parents have responsibilities that they meet and they love their kids and they provide for their kids, giving individual time for kids only when you have a small family is a luxury that only small families can afford.
Yeah, but that still doesn't mean you can't mirror the situation. You might just have more than one kid happening at a time. Yeah, like, I have a friend who has three sons. Well, she just recently
passed.
She had three sons.
Three still a
she
small
did
number.
What she called date night with her three boys. That once a month, the four of them would go out, just the four of them. And it was her time to check in. Her kids are grown. But it was her time to check in with her sons, see what's going on in their lives, see them checking in. The brothers are close, so they stay in touch. But them just kind of checking in with mom. This is what's going on with us. This is what's happening with us. This is just mother and son time. You know, I think because you have 15 kids, that doesn't absolve you of the responsibility of needing to spend
time
with those children.
Yeah, but time can be the family dinner, or time can be the worship in church. Time can be all family time. Let me get to the crux of what, because there's a good intention. There's a real positive intention about what I'm saying, is that individual time is great, and I think it should be given, but it feels like a luxury. And it seems as if families who can't give individual time, I wouldn't say that fathers love their children any less. Fathers who might be in the house, or mothers for even that.
It doesn't make you less. It doesn't say loving less.
You're just saying that families can't accommodate that because they work or whatever the case may be.
Impossible. The parents might have two jobs.
Because time in general is a luxury.
However, the kids go on to be great. And where do we say that without this, kids wouldn't be great? Nobody's saying that. But if you have a father-daughter, if you work two jobs, though.
Like, your child knows you work two jobs, and that time for you is limited. And if you just be like, you know what, I'm always grinding, but just for few hours, we going to kick it.
But to play devil's advocate, if you could take your daughter out for a movie or have time with uniquely her, even though you have two other kids, every Wednesday night. And she could still be insecure.
No, but I don't think it doesn't have to be going out.
The idea of giving her security and making her feel good in a relationship is...
That's all you got to do, because how does that even make any logical sense?
Here's a question.
Let's stop coddling these kids.
Oh my God, Tash, shut up, please.
Okay, so Tash, take it to a different place.
I'm not trolling.
Y'all know Tash. We all know that Tash has kids, and we call him. He's like, I'm taking Junior out tonight. It's one-on-one time.
I will use my kids as an excuse for sure, but whether I'm actually taking Junior out tonight is debatable.
You are lying like a rug.
Now that Tash is caused, is this because I covered the mic earlier?
I have a question. Tash, are you ready to pick on another topic?
We're just gonna shut Tash down. You was already starting it.
But I mean, like, can you take time?
I guess I have an issue with the idea that you have to let a kid know that.
No, that's okay.
Wait, I really want you to finish that thought. You have a problem not. With letting the kid know what?
But I'm going
to that you love them?
No. That individual of the other kid that they're... I have an idea with the letting your kid know that they're special. The whole specialization of their kids.
You mean to tell me Auntie Afi has never made you feel special?
Yes, and I don't think it worked out. Cause look at the motherfucker on the mic now.
No.
So here's the thing that I
do know that. But that's different. But how I handle students as a teacher and how a child is handled by the parent is supposed to make that child feel special. The teacher doesn't necessarily owe your child that. But see, making your child feel special builds so many other things, right? Confidence.
Why does the kid have to be special? Wait. Why can't the kid just be a person? And like,
Because right now, we live in a time when parents think it's their responsibility to make their kids happy. Because
he is smitten by you. So Tash is over here talking. He can't even walk in the house without grabbing you. Isley, anybody listen to Natasha?
So we can do another topic because I'm actually trying to help this fool. He's not even listening. So let's just move on.
He don't need no help.
Here's my question: is there any conversation left to be had about Rachel Dolezal, or has that been exhausted?
There is no further.
Yes, that sister. We had a text message conversation. Has gotten a bum rap.
No, I wasn't in that conversation. I don't have
that. Who Tash?
Milk of magnesia. My sister of magnesia.
See that was my take. Okay, we ended up
you know what Christian said. Christian said that Rachel Dolezal went on dates with her dad when she was young, and that's why she thought she could do and be anything she wanted, including black.
Knock it off. She thought she was special. Knock it
off. Let's make it clear. We ended up
having a really tense
text message
exchange around Rachel Dolezal.
We sure did.
Yeah.
The tension that ended up popping up?
It got real. It started from a place that was joking. And I wish she were here. Serious. It was one sister, our Darylin, I'm not going to put her on blast, but she and I had a real tense exchange because she felt like, well, her first comment about it was that she wasn't going to knock anybody's hustle. And I was like, nah, this is...
No, Tash, I don't got a hug problem Eli. With this. That's special.
And I was like, you know, it's not even so much... When it was all said and done, because it's even though I can't even remember the various points of the text message conversation, what it came down to for me with her is the fact that this is not a situation that any of us in this room could adopt and play out for ourselves without there being some serious repercussions. To me, it was a display of white privilege at its best, you know?
That's because none of us can actually pass. But black folks pass and they do benefit from it.
But but if black people passed and if a black person passed and then was discovered to not be white and publicly put on blast for having passed for the last decade as a white person in a position of prominence in a white organization, their asses would be in a shitload of hot water.
They get shit from black people and white people. No, exactly. from my thing is, A, it was just blackface to me. And my other concern is like, you know, I feel like most of us work in nonprofits. Predominantly white women run nonprofits. It's not like she wanted to be in the NBA. She's thinking, okay, if I'm black, I get a leg up. Being a white woman, you actually have a leg up in running a nonprofit. Nonprofit. Right. But I could see if she would have just been a white lady doing the same shit, she could run. She could run a chapter of the NAACP.
I think that's what my friend Leisha Mack said that really resonated with
me. Kim
said it's the fashion fair.
My friend Leisha Mack said if she really cared about the issues of black folks and black justice, what she did was doubly wrong because she robbed us of a white person speaking up. right. speaking up.
Tim because Wise just can't on, do it by himself.
Just on the issue of this is wrong, and what we are seeing is not healthy for though? America. She has a brother who was adopted who is African American.
I thought she had some children, though, didn't she?
But all of Africa's children are her children. All of Africa's descendants.
That's right. She was married to a black man.
So she's had black in her, but she doesn't have. She doesn't always have black in her.
No, her mama had black in her.
She has one black child.
Right, right. Yeah. She has one black child.
She has one child, and she's raising her. She's raising her brother as her own son.
Right.
Her adopted brother as her own son.
I don't even care about Rachel.
No.
Yeah, it just, Rachel I was going to say one more, just
She's
last
had
thing.
Her 15 minutes. Oh, okay. We can let it go.
I was just, I was going to say this. It did remind me of, do you remember Young Black Teenagers?
Uh-huh.
Young Black Teenagers in like House Party 2 or whatever. And I remember, it's a random thing, but they were on Arsenio Hall around the time. And they were like, yeah, we just think black is like a state of mind. And I'll never forget Arsenio Hall right back was like, yeah, I was pulled over by the police for my state of mind. And it was just like, that was very apropos that, you know, blackness is not a state of mind. It's not this. It also has a tangible aspect to it with real tangible consequences.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to call someone out. This is so fucked up. So I went to high school with this girl named Sarah Feinstein. And she was a beautiful opera singer. And, like, I graduated in 96. And maybe in 2004.
Raise your hand if you thought Tash was going to say she was a beautiful white woman.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
She's a beautiful opera singer.
Who went on a lot of dates with her dad.
And, no, she was she was Jewish, and she was really dark and had, like, curly hair and kind of brown skin. Like, you know, she looked Mediterranean, you know? But she was dope. I saw her in, like, 2004. And I was at a club somewhere in downtown kicking it. And it was just like cute.
You really called her out.
It was this cute little Latina like next to me. And I'm just like, hey, what's your name? She's like, Tash. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, it's Sada. And I'm like, Sada. Right. She had became Sada. And I was like, yo, Sarah, you were Sarah Feinstein. Like, I know who the fuck you are. And guess what? I don't know. She I don't know. I can't say for sure.
Maybe she was always Latina.
She didn't actually tell me she had become Latina, but she called herself Sada. Mm-hmm.
Maybe her mom was Latina and her dad was Jewish, and now she's embracing her Latina roots.
Then at Hamilton, she was as she kicked it with the artsy white Jew. She was Sarah Feinstein at
Hamilton.
At Hamilton.
She realized 20 years later that she should not deny
You're right.
her mom.
You're right. And Sarah, I apologize for accusing you of anything less than your Latino heritage.
No. But look, on the flip, I'm going to make this point and then we can wrap it up. What I think this whole situation brought to the table was sort of the... There's almost a duplicitous nature of being there can be a duplicitous nature to somebody. And this is, of course, I always have to apologize to Leisha when I make comments about light-skinned people. But it's a duplicitous and Tash.
Chris, too.
And Tash.
Chris, too.
There can be a duplicitous nature to when somebody is fair-skinned and doesn't... And if two black people... don't automatically appear to be black, because one of the memes that heavily circulated after this whole situation, yeah, everybody's looking at their light skinned friends like, and it's the cat with his head cocked to his side. And Tash and I had this quick exchange. I reminded him when I was in grad school, it was a woman named Sheba Kane.
Sheba.
And hey. Sheba looked like Tina Marie. But she was in the Afro-Am department getting her graduate degree. She was getting ready to go off to Howard to get her PhD. And black people sweated Sheba so hard. Like, you are not black. Like, stop fronting. And what made it worse?
I went to school. I met Sheba and I met the real Kimmy.
Fuck off of that. And then that was a white girl that wore blue eyeshadow. The part that really killed it was that Sheba always came to class in African garb. always, which really just dug into the blood of black folks. Like, bitch, please stop it. You fronting so all funny. This dashiki shit is not necessary. And I always felt bad for Sheba because I didn't question her. I took her for what she said she was. I mean, you say you a black woman, then you a black woman.
That's what I guess the best article that I read about Rachel Dolezal's betrayal was in the New Yorker, and it wasn't Ta-Nehisi Coates, it was the other New Yorker stable, and the fact that I can't remember their name is a travesty. Listen, he said that black folks know that blackness comes in all shades, and we don't actually question when someone who doesn't look black, what do you call it, physiologically,
aesthetically. Or
aesthetically, that we don't question it because from experience, we have cousins who have blue eyes and light hair and who can pass. And so the real betrayal is that as a professor of African-American studies, she knew the extent to which black people wouldn't actually question her blackness and just accept it and just be like, oh, okay, yeah, she's one of the light ones.
Yeah.
And that she exploited it.
Yeah, she made it her business.
Yeah, and she made it her business. And he was like, "This, that's just not cool." And that's just how open we are. Like, if someone has, like 1/16 of blackness, but culturally identifies as black, we'd be like, okay, they black, you know. Yeah.
And on
they grew
top
up
of
in Oakland,
of,
whatever. You
yeah.
know.
And on top of all of that,
you grew up in Oakland, you're white, you're black.
But now, but I'm talking about they grew up in Oakland in the 80s.
Yeah. You know, and on top of that, we as black people have trust issues. So when a person is black, they are made privy to circumstances that we ordinarily would not speak about in mixed company. And she allowed herself, she gave herself access to a place where she ordinarily wouldn't have access. Even as a white ally, there are still certain conversations folks wouldn't have had around her. The folk would not have had around her because she's a white woman.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Very true.
And she infiltrated that. So
I'm sorry, you guys. I'm white.
See, that straight hair and that little slim nose, I should have known.
You should have known. I'm white.
I just want her to fade away and never discuss her.
Yeah, well, now that Bill Cosby is back on the table, she's faded.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. Leave a message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again.